So last week we started a brand new series in the book of Galatians, and if you have your Bibles, you can turn there this morning. If you have the Bible app and like to use that, you can go there and go to events. It'll take you right to all the passages of scripture that we will be using today. So, like I said, we're on this journey in the book of Galatians, all about understanding salvation, understanding what that means, what it looks like, and that we have freedom in Christ. And I thought it was important last week that we really start off and we understand a few things. Number one, that Galatians was written to multiple local churches in a southern region of what we now call Turkey, called Galatia. So it's not like it's just there's a town somewhere out there called Galatia. It's actually a whole region, which is very different from what Paul usually does. But he had planted these churches on his first missionary journey, went back through, set up elders, got them going, and then found out that other people were showing up and telling them to believe and trust in other things. And this is kind of a little map of what it looked like in Paul's day to travel around. It was taking a lot of time, and he went to all these places. The red is his starting journey and where he ended up. He ended up in a place called Derbe, which is in the region called Galatia, and then went all the way back through, ending up back in Antioch, which is in Syria, back at his home church, his home base, that kind of launched him and got him started and got him going. And it was all that first journey and that starting the churches that Paul writes this letter back to all those churches again and warns them, because now there's people going out adding stuff to the message of salvation and adding stuff and confusing everybody. And so he wants them to understand. And last week we ended with this big idea: you have been rescued. That above all, you have been rescued, and you have been rescued by Jesus himself. And part of what we're going to see throughout this whole series is Paul just goes back to that. That's who's rescued us, that's who's freed us, and that's where our freedom is found. And if it's not protected, if it's not guarded, if it's not watched over, somebody will come in and take it away. Somebody will come in and add to it. Somebody will add a bunch of rules and tell you you're not saved unless you're also doing these things. And none of it's true, because in Christ we have been rescued. So this morning, Paul does something very interesting to kind of talk about what he does. There's a big phenomenon going on. It isn't new. It's just we have a new term for it. And if you're on Facebook a lot, you've probably heard this week. Fake news. It's kind of a big deal. I mean, Mark Zuckerberg, okay, he's got all these billions of dollars he's made in Facebook. He's putting a whole bunch of money back in because Facebook is one of the big places you get fake news. And some of you are like, you mean not everything on Facebook is true? No! Guess what? You have learned something today. Take that knowledge with you. It's going to change your life this week, okay? Just because you read it on there doesn't mean it's true. And we just came through a period of time where there was a lot of what we'll call fake news out there that got a lot of people angry. Oh, I can't believe that person would do that. No, they never did it. They got out there somehow, right? And so now they're trying to protect and guard and make sure this doesn't happen. So I wanted to give you three examples. Two of these are kind of older examples, but they're examples in which there was huge ramifications because of it. Okay? I don't know if you realize this, but in April 30th, 2005, Newsweek, the magazine Newsweek, which no longer exists, okay, did a story about that at Guantanamo Bay, that one of the guards, somebody there, okay, took a Koran and flushed it down the toilet, or attempted to flush it down the toilet, or whatever. And this was a huge news story. They came back on May 16th and said, by the way, it wasn't true, okay? Oops, we got our sources wrong. Retracted the whole story about 16 days later. The problem is that story had some huge ramifications for our troops being in parts of the world that are very Muslim dominated, and that's their holy book. And what are you Americans doing in flushing down the toilet? That's terrible. That's awful. We don't do that to your Bible. And it led to all sorts of problems. Except it wasn't even true. It wasn't even true. But for 16 days until May 16th when they came back, there was a lot of people who believed it and had some huge ramifications. Do you remember the George Zimmerman Trayvon Martin situation that took place February 26, 2012? Okay? Here's something very interesting that took place in that. Not defending anybody. I just want you to understand a huge problem that took place on a news show talking about this, okay? They played a tape. It was the first 911 tape that was released in this whole situation. And this is what they played. This guy looks like he's up to no good. He looks black. Now, if you'd read that, you'd have a certain concept, right? You would think a certain way. You'd think, what's motivating this guy? What's causing this guy to do what he does? And they played this just like this. The problem was, it's not true. There was a lot more that they didn't play. This was the whole thing, okay? He calls in. This guy looks like he's up to no good, or he's on drugs or something. It's raining. He's just walking around looking around. Dispatcher, okay. And this guy, is he black, white, or Hispanic? He looks black. Now, isn't that totally different? Doesn't that cast a very different idea of a set of events that is going on? When you get the whole story, you don't get some edited version that took place. It's true, but this happens quite a bit. And you and I can be fooled by fake news sometimes because people are editing it and leaving stuff out to kind of cast their own shadow and make up their own agenda. Do you not realize that just in this election cycle, it was out there that Pope Francis endorsed Donald Trump. Never happened, okay? And that Hillary sold weapons to ISIS. I didn't know she owned weapons, okay? She must have a stash somewhere in New York. I don't know, right? She actually sold weapons to them was one of the news. The other one was she helped fund them. She gave them money, and neither of those were true. But that was a news cycle again, that there was a lot of things going on that were just not true. We would call them fake news. Now, why would I bring up this morning? Because what Paul is worried about, and he's going to say so in the verses we're going to look at, he's worried about fake gospels. He's worried about people coming in and saying things that are not true. They're adding to the whole message of Jesus. As I told you last week, it's not that they're taking Jesus out of the equation. They're adding something to him. They're adding something to, oh yeah, Jesus will forgive you, but first you've got to come over here and do this. First you've got to do that. Have you made sure you've done this? And they would always add something. And we're going to get to the point where I want you to see that in our day and age, we have the same thing. We have people who are adding on to Jesus and confusing a lot of people about what this good news is, what this gospel is that we talk about all the time. That we invite people into a relationship with Jesus. What does that look like? What does that mean? And where are fake things coming along and kind of deceiving and fooling a lot of people? So Galatians chapter 1, verse number 6 is where we're going to pick up this morning. Only going to look at a few verses that Paul again writes because he's concerned about this whole issue, this whole area. So follow along. You can follow along the screen if you want to. Here's what he says. I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. This is probably a year after he's done. And he's like, really? I didn't call a year? Really? And you've already left? You're so soon leaving what I told you? You're so deserting it? Really, the picture there, if you like the army term, is AWOL, okay? Absent without leave. You're just gone. You took off. And that's what he's saying. I gave you the truth of who Jesus is, and you just kind of left it that quickly, that soon, that sudden, and all of a sudden, you are believing something else. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but is not the good news at all. What are you doing? You're following this whole other thing, and that's not the good news. That's not what I proclaimed to you. That's not what Jesus is about. Why are you missing this? And so he says, you're following a different way. He says, you are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. Right? We just talked about that. Those who twist the truth and produce new stories that aren't really true. Those who twist the truth to say things about Christ and to add things to Jesus that Scripture never talks about. But they twist and add and maybe make verses say things that they want to say if they take them out of context and put them over here. And he says, what happens? I told you the truth, and now you're just over here following all these other fake, phony ways. And I'm concerned about you because you've left the truth and you're going your own way. And then he says something very interesting. He says it twice. I think just so he can make his point. Okay? He's so concerned about what's happening. He's so concerned about them twisting and turning and being deceived. And all these people have come in and told them different things. He says this. Let God's curse fall on anyone, including us, or even an angel from heaven, who preaches a different kind of good news than the one we preach to you. Well, that's a little strong, isn't it? You know, like God curse you if you do that. He says, even if I showed back up and added something different and changed the message and made it something different, no, may God curse even me if I would show up and do that. He's that concerned that he would say, may God's curse just fall on those who fool and deceive and trick people into following something that is not true. And he says it again. I say again what we have said before. If anyone preaches any other good news than the one you welcomed, let that person be cursed. Probably some of the strongest language Paul uses throughout most of his writing is in the book of Galatians, because he's so upset about what's happening, and it's just got him so wound up to say, stop listening to these people, stop. Let God curse them if this would happen. And here's a phrase that I want you to learn throughout this. That's all the scripture we're going to look at this morning. Here's a phrase that I want you to learn throughout the entire book of Galatians. That Jesus plus anything ruins everything. As soon as you add something that, yes, Jesus died, and that's great, that's awesome, but you also have to do that. Anytime you add something to that, Jesus plus anything ruins everything. Everything gets ruined. Everything gets changed. Everything gets different. Because you might look and say, well, Paul, it's not that bad of a thing. You know, people just came in and said, well, you should act like a Jew. You should follow some Jewish laws. You know, is it a bad thing to take the Sabbath? No, it's a bad thing to have a day off? Absolutely not. But we don't add it and say, if you don't take the Sabbath, I won't ask you how many of you did something yesterday, okay? If you don't follow the Sabbath, you're not saved. They were adding stuff because Jesus plus anything ruins everything. So what I'd like to do this morning is I'd like for you to see five examples of this in our day and age. Five examples that maybe you've heard of, maybe you haven't, that are fake gospels. They're fake. They all add something to the work of Christ, or they change what Jesus did, but they all change something. They all add something so that Jesus plus anything ruins everything. And I just want to give you five examples, just so you can see what this looks like in our day and age. And so also you can ask this question. Is that what I'm really trusting? Because maybe some of you have heard a different message from a different person. And that's what you trust. And that's been something you've thought about. And that's been something you've considered following. And it's caused a lot of confusion for you. And maybe today, all God wants to do is open your eyes and say, by the way, that's just not true. That's just not true. That's adding something to the gospel. So, five examples. Here's the first one. The good works gospel. We have to stack up more good deeds than bad deeds to be accepted by God. Jesus showed us the way. We got Jesus in this, okay? He showed us the way. Now, all we have to do is measure up. We have to do enough to measure up, okay? So in other words, the gospels then become a roadmap. Jesus was a good person, okay? Yeah, we don't expect you to heal people, but, he was good, he was kind, he helped people. And if you'd go out and help people and you'd stack up more good things than bad things, guess what? God will accept you. You'll be accepted by God. As long as you just get that balance right. And you do more good things than you do bad things. That's the first one. This one's really prevalent. This just falls in the, you know, everybody's good, everybody tries. Everybody's really trying to be good, and it's us taking a view of our life that we're actually good people trying to do good things, and can I just do enough? Can I just do enough? Problem with this gospel is exhausting. Because if you've been honest, you realize, gosh, every time I get close, whoops, Okay, I start doing all bad things again, and it's out of balance. And every time I think I might be attempting to be close. And if we, for a moment, as the Gospels try to do for us, as the Bible tries to do, to get us to put on God's lens, we would look and we go, oh, there's no chance. My bad deeds are stacked up so high, there's no chance. There's no way. I don't have enough time. There's not that many hours in a day. There isn't that much opportunity to do that much good to outweigh all the bad that I have done in my life. But for many people, I'm a good person. I'm a good person doing good things. And listen, I haven't been bad. I haven't been in jail. So everything's good. And I've done enough good to outweigh my bad. And it's just, it's fake. And I want you to believe in that. I don't want you thinking, oh, I got to be as good enough. Because you can never be good enough. Number two, the spirituality gospel. As long as we have a sincere faith in something and follow a spiritual path of some kind, God will accept us. All spiritual paths lead to God and heaven. It's just better if we make Jesus a part of the path, since he is such a good example and a heroic martyr. Okay? So everything works, but really you should have Jesus in there somewhere because, my goodness, what a heroic life. He died this incredible death. You ought to include him somewhere, but really, all spirituality leads to God. And there's a lot of people out there peddling their form of spirituality. And it looks very different in different ways. And they're all saying the same thing. Hey, but it's good, you know, and it'll help you find your way to God. You just need to be spiritual. You just need to be spiritual. The problem is that Jesus' death was much more than just simply heroic. It is the source of our salvation. So it's different than I was going to try to be some spiritual person or sound spiritual or do spiritual things. I actually need someone to forgive me, to set me free. The third, the fire escape gospel. As long as we have prayed the sinner's prayer at some point to be saved, we won't go to hell. Being saved may or may not impact how we live life today, but we are saved from eternal damnation. Okay? I prayed a prayer, you know, 10 years ago, whatever, poof, 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 I'm good. Everything's fine. I'm covered. It's okay. Now I can just go do whatever I want. Salvation really doesn't impact my everyday life. And there's a lot of people who are deceived because they did that at some point in their life. Nothing ever changed. Nothing ever became different. They have really no relationship with God. They uttered a prayer after somebody else, but never made a decision to follow Jesus. And this, and I've talked to other guys, this is what people run into quite a bit. But I prayed this prayer 20 years ago. Really? And what's happened in your life? Well, nothing. I prayed a prayer. I took care of it. That was my insurance. Check. Box done. Now I can just do whatever I want to. In other words, my life was not impacted at all by Christ. I checked the box, I said a prayer, and everything's good. It's simply the fire escape gospel. That's all I have to do is whisper a prayer, say a prayer. Everything's good. It's checked. I'm fine. And it's bigger than that. It's always been bigger than that. And in trying to find a way, okay? Because listen, I grew up in a time and age. In trying to find a way to make the gospel very simple, so that people could understand and people could find a way to start their journey with Christ. Unfortunately for many, it didn't become that. It didn't become that. It just became a check the box, go on, and live my own life. See, following Jesus impacts our life. It changes our life. Everything becomes new according to Scripture. Everything becomes new, but for many, it's I pray a prayer, I'm done, I've checked the box. And we have to be careful to make sure that hasn't been our experience, that all we depend upon for the gospel is that I prayed a prayer, and that we forget we're supposed to be depending upon Christ and what he has done for me. Number four, the prosperity gospel. All depends if you ran across certain individuals on TV, you might have run into this, okay? We will always live a life of health and wealth if we truly have faith in Jesus. God wants us to be successful, rich, powerful, and experience his special favor. Okay? I won't name names. I'm just saying it's out there. You can run into it. Okay? I did the other day, you know, surfing channels at 5:30 in the morning. Ran into it where the pastor at the end had everybody stand up. And basically, instead of just reading a benediction, there's all sorts of scripture. It's like reading prayer. You know, may the Lord bless you and make his face to shine upon you. That is scripture. Then he added to it. He made you be successful and wealthy. And I'm like, woo! I'd like to be part of that, right? Who wouldn't? But the problem is it's not true. There is nowhere in scripture that tells us, come follow Jesus and riches and success and everything else follows. In fact, some of the most remarkable individuals that you will read about in your Bible do not meet any mark of current day successful individuals. They just don't. They just don't. With Jesus, he didn't write a book. He didn't run for political office. I don't know. Would he even mark off? Was he wealthy? No. I mean, all of the things that we look and we kind of yearn at, oh, that would be awesome. Most of those are not the marks of a lot of people in Scripture. Now, the richest man that ever lived, he followed God. That's Solomon's story, how God blessed him and used him and did incredible things in his life. But to make that the place that we're all going to be is ridiculous. And you know what ends up happening? Because I'll tell you what ends up happening. When you start following this, all of a sudden, you're not rich and you're not successful. So either two things have to be true, right? Well, God must not love me. Maybe I don't have enough faith. And you begin to doubt God's goodness because your bank account doesn't have enough zeros in it. And you're not driving it on. And is that really the measure of how we view that we are rescued and redeemed and saved? But it's out there, and I'm just telling you, it's fake. It's false to say, trust Jesus, and everything in your life goes great, and you'll be successful and wealthy, because that's what God is going to give you. And it fools people, and it causes a lot of people to walk away from a God who is providing great things for them, but they are missing them because they don't have what everybody else does. The last one, the social justice gospel. For all our millennials in the room, we believe God calls us to resolve social issues like poverty, racism, income inequality. Individuals hearing about the person and work of Jesus Christ is not as important as social issues. So in other words, man, we are gung-ho. Millennial generation in here, you are gung-ho. They're talking about all the things that you are doing, all the things that you are out changing, all the things that have become different because of the millennial generation, and all the things they have come up with in order to do things and act upon them so quickly. So many issues have been resolved that haven't been resolved for years. People have made progress in areas, and it's incredible. The problem is when we pursue that and we leave out what people really need the most, and that's Christ. It's not bad pursuing any of those things. It's not bad seeing any of that happen. It's bad when that becomes first and foremost. And hey, we got the neighborhood better, but nobody followed Jesus. And nobody got saved, and nobody got redeemed, and nobody was rescued. We just kind of fixed up everybody's houses, and everybody looks good now, and everybody's kind of getting along, and isn't that great? And for eternity, it really isn't. And it's just because all these things that social justice causes have just outweighed the gospel and how important it is that people understand who Jesus is. I want to give you two examples of what Paul says about the real gospel. One of them is just a couple of verses. We read this verse last week. That Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God our Father planned, in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God our Father planned, in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. That's the real gospel. Jesus had to die for a reason. He wasn't just a heroic martyr. He was our Savior who took all our sins upon him. And later, we're going to get to this verse and study it more in depth. I wanted to give you another example. In Galatians 2:20, here's what Paul writes. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. See how this butts up against some of the things we even read about these fake gospels? So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That is a picture of the real gospel. That Christ died, that Christ is risen, and that we have new life in him if we will simply ask him. But today I got to ask you, what gospel are you trusting in? What gospel are you trusting in? One that depends upon you and how spiritual you are and how good you are and what causes you're involved in, or one that really depends upon what Jesus has done, that his sacrifice was enough for my sins, that he invites me into a relationship with him, and my life will never be the same again. It's not about him having all the wealth, not that I'm going to be totally successful by the world's standards, but it is a life of trusting in the one who loved me and gave himself for me. What's at stake? See, trusting the wrong gospel leads to the wrong eternity. That's what's at stake. We don't talk about life and death here. We talk about eternal life and eternal death. And the stakes are much greater when you start talking about eternity. Much greater. So I just want you to think about that today. What gospel are you trusting in? If you'd peel everything back, what is the basis for my hope that Christ has saved me, that I've trusted in him? Is it on something I've done, or it's on who Jesus is and what he has done for me? I want to pray for you this morning that we just be really serious and we ask God to help us to be honest with ourselves of what we are trusting today.